The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Shavua Tov, how are you?
Shavua Tov, Boker Tov. Yeah, we're all keeping our heads above water, I think, in the current situation. But here's an interesting thing that I was reading about, which I thought you might be interested in, Howard. It's all about the tradition of swinging live chickens over your head just before Yom Kippur in what's called kaparot. Now, in many cases, the whole act of swinging the live chicken three times around your head and saying prayers to transfer the sins to the bird, and then, of course, slaughtering the bird and donating it to the poor, that's kind of, you know, where things came from originally, and a lot of that's been replaced with money rather than chickens being circled around your head. But apparently, in some of the ultra-Orthodox neighborhoods, particularly in New York, kaparot are still a thing. And there is this organization called the Alliance to End Chickens as Kaporas. Okay, this is a real organization that actually filed a motion in the court to try to prevent people from using live chickens, of course, because of cruelty to animals, and because they claimed, at least in the court, that it could spread dangerous pathogens in the air. And in fact, the court, a state appeals court, actually struck down their lawsuit. This went to a state appeal court in America back in 2017. Well, of course, now, in light of COVID-19, they've renewed their intentions in the court and their objections to kaparot. Yeah. And people think that it might actually succeed because, you know, against the background of COVID-19, that they might actually get their way and have kaparot banned from using live chickens. And people will be forced to do kaparot only with money rather than with live animals. Apparently, there are 80 live animal markets in New York City, something that really, really surprised me. And one of them, at least, or some of them, are used to do kaparot just before Yom Kippur. So just an interesting little something that happens, you know, as a result of COVID-19.
It will be interesting to see if they'll be able to use that as a reason. Mervyn says people who are against kaparot are calling foul. Good one, Mervyn. Indeed. All right. The IDF retaliates overnight to a rocket that was fired towards Israel, the town of Sderot, last night. What do we know about this attack?
Well, this was really foul because Sderot last night actually inaugurated a drive-in cinema. Can you understand? I mean,
We were talking about this earlier because Anati went to Steers or wherever she was going to get takeaways, and they had this pop-up drive-in there. And in fact, I've been, there are a number of them happening all over Johannesburg, and we want to provide our listeners with some options for it. So it seems to be a thing. So Sderot last night was doing the same.
They were doing the same there for the first time. They'd actually inaugurated their new drive-in movie theater. Of course, these days, you don't have to sit with that ugly little speaker on your window. You can actually use your phone now and go download the app and, of course, get the sound through your phone. And there are apparently restaurants around the area who would be happy to deliver food to your car while you're sitting and watching the movie. I know that my home city of Ra'anana also tried it in one of the municipal car parks. Anyway, this was what was going on in Sderot last night at around 9 o'clock when the red alert siren was sounded. A single rocket was launched from Gaza towards Sderot. It was intercepted by Iron Dome. Unfortunately, some of the falling shrapnel actually did cause some damage to cars, but fortunately, there were no reports of people being injured. And so at least the interception is considered to have been very, very critical because there was obviously a relatively large concentration of people all at that drive-in movie last night. And of course, as has been the IDF's policy up until now, there was a retaliation against that strike. We understand that Israeli Air Force jets did fire missiles at several Hamas sites in the central and southern Gaza Strip, including against a cement factory, which it is claimed was being used for the construction of tunnels as well as other underground facilities. There were apparently other strikes against what's just been labeled resistance sites near to Khan Yunus and to Rafah. So there was retaliation. So it was a little strange. It's not quite clear who was responsible for that attack last night of that single rocket. Of course, the IDF and the Israeli government are holding Hamas in the Gaza Strip responsible, given that they are still the governing authority in Gaza. But this also came on the same night that there was an escalation in the southern Golan Heights when the IDF actually intercepted a terror squad that was apparently trying to use an improvised explosive device. And this comes on the back of about a two-week cycle during which there have been rising tensions in that area. This particular infiltration came from Syria as opposed to Lebanon, which is where the previous incidents have been taking place, more along the Lebanese border. This one last night was along the Syrian border. It's not exactly clear what Syria's involvement is, whether this is Syrian government forces, whether this might be Hezbollah instigated, whether this has got Iran behind it. We assume that if it's not Iran directly, that it's certainly an Iranian-backed militia of some sort that are trying to infiltrate Israel. So tensions on both borders last night. Fortunately, everything has been holding tight, and we are here to live and tell the story of those events last night, and good that our IDF soldiers are well prepared and on duty doing their job in spite of the fact that they have been somewhat weakened by the number of soldiers who have been diagnosed with corona and those who have had to go into isolation as a result of having to come into direct contact with people with corona. So good news all the way around, and let's hope that, you know, the defenses will remain solid as they have been up until now.
Absolutely right. All right, tell us about this massive demonstration on Saturday evening in Israel against the Prime Minister.
Well, this is just a continuation of the Black Flag protests. Every week they seem to be gaining a little bit more momentum. Saturday night is the big night out for Black Flag protests. That's when the main event of the week is held. The focal points have certainly been the Prime Minister's residence, the official residence in Jerusalem in Rehov Balfour, Balfour Street, as well as the Prime Minister's personal residence in Kesaria. Both of those, again, on Saturday evening were focal points for demonstrators. There are reports that somewhere between 10 and 30,000 people turned up to the protest in Jerusalem, depending on who you believe and who was actually counting the numbers and which reports you read. But certainly more than 10,000 people seems to be a consensus as to the number of people who turned up to demonstrate against Prime Minister Netanyahu. What's interesting is that he just considers this to be some sort of a campaign to unseat the Prime Minister without cause. This is just some sort of a conspiracy that involves just people who have no justification, no just reason, other than the fact that they don't like his right-wing policies. And he claims that this is just some sort of a conspiracy to unseat a strong right-wing prime minister. But certainly people are feeling discontent. And I think the time has come for the Prime Minister and for the members of the government to wake up and understand that there is a certain feeling on the street of people being discontent, people being dissatisfied with the way that things have been handled, not only corona, but things around it. There seems to be so much going on within government circles which people simply don't subscribe to, don't believe, don't think that the government is acting in the best interests of the people. And the moment they lose the trust of the people who voted them into power and people feel that they're not representing their best interests, we're in a very, very difficult situation. And we're seeing that via these Black Flag protests that come about every single week. And in fact, during the week as well. I spoke about Kesaria, I spoke about Jerusalem, but of course there have been thousands of people who protested, huge numbers in Tel Aviv, and right across Israel, right across the country, people are out protesting. Of course, lots of claims about this is the best way to spread the virus with so many people coming together, which may well have some sort of a basis to it, even though most of the protesters we see do wear masks, but so many of them are wearing masks under their noses. And I think everybody understands by now that a mask is not only for your mouth, it's for your nose as well. And people should wear their masks above their noses in order to really get the benefit of the mask. Also, many of the police are not wearing their masks properly. So there is no doubt that there is risk of spreading the virus. It hasn't been the case up until now. There's been no significant number of infections that we're aware of that have come from these protests. But we just get the feeling that the protests are ramping every single week. Just a little escalation, just a little escalation. And the protests that up until now, at least, seem to be falling on deaf ears.
Yeah, and it's quite unbelievable. Also equally unbelievable is Yair Netanyahu. Bibi not exactly surrounded by people who understand how to measure their responses. Tell us about this reaction.
Well, this has been a very, very strange reaction because, I mean, as we know, it's already not new that Yair Netanyahu, the Prime Minister's son, has been very, very active, particularly on social media, criticizing everybody who has the audacity to speak out against his father, to do anything that might scupper the Prime Minister's plans, whether those plans have absolute justification to them, or whether people feel that perhaps they're not quite consistent with what should be done and with what needs to be done, and therefore people have a democratic right to speak out and say, we don't like what's happening. Well, if anybody would speak out against the Prime Minister, either in his personal capacity or against any of the policies that he's pursuing, then they need to understand that the Prime Minister's son is likely to hit them with some sort of an accusation using social media, which is his favorite tool. He's criticized government employees, people who have spoken out saying that they don't think the policies that are being pursued are the correct ones, and yet they've come down from the Prime Minister. And so therefore, once the Prime Minister has said it, obviously it must be like Torah from Sinai. It almost must be like the Ten Commandments that you have to just adhere to it without having any consideration at all. And the latest thing that Yair Netanyahu has been involved with is he's actually published the list names and addresses of some of the organizers of the Black Flag protests. Yeah. And he wrote a tweet saying that people are invited to go along day and night to protest outside their homes, phone numbers, addresses of individuals who've been organizing these protests were all advertised on his tweet. The court that was called into session because, of course, this particular action was challenged in the court, and he was in the Jerusalem District Court yesterday, and he was prevented from harassing these particular protesters for a period of 6 months. He was told that he had to take their names and addresses down from the tweet, which of course I think is probably too late by now because I'm sure it's been retweeted many, many times already. But the judge had very, very little sympathy for Yair Netanyahu. This was Justice Dorit Feinstein, who demanded that the tweet be deleted and added in her ruling that he must cease harassing protest organizers for at least 6 months and no longer publish their private addresses. So this is what the court decided yesterday against him, not for the first time that a court has ruled against him. But it's just absurd to me that the Prime Minister's son can get involved in things like this, that he simply takes whatever his father is doing and he just propagates it almost at any price, and anybody who would dare to speak out against it will have to run the wrath and experience Netanyahu's and Yair Netanyahu's wrath on social media. So the judge has really spoken out very, very clearly about this behavior.
Unbelievable. Anthony Reich, this is Where We Love and Leave You. We'll catch you tomorrow, same time, same place. Thanks, as always, for a very informative Israel report.